The day is as regimented as a soldier's. French is followed by music, which is followed by a joyless luncheon of boiled cod. The afternoon is taken up with dance. We learn the quadrille and the waltz. As it is wash day, we are sent to the laundry to give our linens and clothing to the washerwoman, along with a shilling for her work. We copy sentences from Mr. Dickens's Nicholas Nickleby, perfecting our penmanship. Mrs. Nightwing strides between the neat rows of our desks, scrutinising our form, criticising the loops and the flourishes she feels fall short of the mark. If we have an ink blot upon the page, and with our leaky nibs and weary fingers it is nearly impossible not to, then we must start the whole page over again. When she calls time, my eyes have begun to cross, and my hand will surely never be rid of its ghastly cramp. By the time the evening rolls around, we're exhausted. I've never been so grateful to see my bed. I pull the thin blanket up to my chin, and as my head dents the pillow, I fall into dreams as intricate as mazes. The lady in lavender beckons to me from her cloak of London fog. I follow her into a bookseller's. She pulls books furiously from the shelves, searching until she finds the one she wants. She lays it open and begins to draw, covering the page in strange lines and markings that put me in mind of a map. She inks the page as quickly as possible, but we are interrupted by the sound of horses. The lady's eyes grow wide with fear. The window crackles with frost. Cold fog creeps around the cracks in the door. It blows open suddenly. A wretched monster in a tattered cape sniffs the air. A Winterlands tracker.
"The sacrifice," he growls.
I wake with a start to find I've pulled every one of my books from the shelf. They lie in a heap upon the floor. Anne calls to me in a sleep-soaked voice.
"Gemma, why are you making such a racket?"
I had a nightmare. Sorry." She rolls over and returns to her dreams. Heart still beating fast, I go about putting my books away. A Study in Scarlet has only a few bent pages, but Jane Eyre has a wretched tear in it. I mourn the injury done to it, as if I myself have been cut, and not Miss Eyre. Mr. Kipling's The Jungle Book is mangled. Miss Austen's Pride and Prejudice is wounded, but still intact. In fact, the only book to escape without a scratch is A History of Secret Societies, and I suppose I should be grateful something has survived my midnight rampage. I place them all neatly on the shelf, spines out, except for Pride and Prejudice, for I have need of the comfort of an old friend. Miss Austen keeps me company by lamplight until well into the morning, when I fall asleep, dreaming only of Mr. Darcy, which is as good a dream as a girl may reasonably hope for.